Welcome to Life and Godliness. I am your host, Joanna Simpson, otherwise known as JoSim. So many of us are struggling, stuck, lost, wounded, and hopeless when Jesus came so we could be free and live an abundant life. He wants us to enjoy Him and enjoy life. But how can we truly do this if we're bogged down by life's problems? Well, Life and Godliness with JoSim hopes to help persons enjoy life with Christ by sharing Christ-inspired solutions to everyday problems and digging up deep-rooted mindsets that skew our perception of the Father. To quote a popular artist, life is hard, but God is good. And He's patient in our journeys. So join us as we talk about life and godliness.
Welcome to Life and Godliness with Joe. Hey! Today I have two very special people with me. I have Luke Kwamina. He is a motivational speaker and pastor and the husband of one wife, Rachel Kwamina, who is a lovely interior designer, and a mother of two. Welcome, Kwaminas.
Thank you.
It's so good to have you on my show. I'm so grateful and happy that you're here with me to talk about some of these, well, touchy subjects. Persons navigate this space in different ways. And so I'm really happy that you're here to just share your life and, you know, your lessons and what you've learned with us. So usually what I start with is, how did you come to know the Lord?
Well, for me, I'll start off. I grew up in it, you know, born to parents who were Christians, believers. I think I was around 9 when I made a conscious decision. I think at that time it was still a little bit of groupthink. Mm. You know, everybody accepts Christ. But I think the sincerity of my following Christ to decide to, hey, I want to live like Him. I want to represent this. I want to make this choice and be different. That came closer to around 12. Since then it has been a great journey just following Christ. So it was, I want to say I had a little advantage that I grew up in a home that was already a Christian home.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Mm-hmm. And for me, I was raised Catholic all my life. And when I was about 20, I was about 18 actually. Mm-hmm. I was introduced to a Pentecostal church in Florida through my aunt. And when I went there, there was something just so different about it in comparison to, the Catholic church. And I really resonated with it and with how the teaching was done. I felt a part of it immediately. And it just caused me to be extremely hungry for more.
Yeah.
And then I gave my life to Christ, was baptized there, and went away for college, kind of strayed a little bit because I didn't have, I don't think I had enough access to leadership at that time.
Mm-hmm.
And then around 2 years later, I came back and I was really dedicated to my walk. And yeah. And then I met Luke a couple months after that.
Oh, yeah. So God just positioned you before you get mad.
Totally positioned me. I cannot say that we positioned ourselves because I was not in a place where I was ready for a relationship at all at that time. And I was kind of just working on myself. So yeah, God definitely just dropped Luke there for me. And that's what happened.
Oh, so can you tell me a little bit more about that? Tell me about that journey.
So I had actually taken a break from college to transition to another school. Mm-hmm. And I came down to Florida. Luke was in school doing his master's. Well, just about to start his master's. And I was taking a break to do my applications and to transition to a school in Georgia. And one of my friend was on the worship team at the church that I was attending, and he invited me to a competition to come and see him sing. And when I went to the competition, Luke and I met. It was his mutual friend as well. And that's how we ended up meeting. And he had just come from an Extreme Impact.
Hey.
Yeah. And so we kind of instantly connected on that note because I'm Jamaican. And, you know, we started chatting. We realized we had some mutual friends. And, you know, despite me having to leave to go to school, we definitely made a connection and started a friendship from there on out. And it developed into a long-distance relationship for 2.5 years. And, you know, we grew a lot through that. It was a really good experience, actually. I know some people don't agree with, you know, or don't believe in long-distance relationships, but for us, it had so many benefits. And yeah, here we are today with 2 kids and 6 years under our belt. So yeah,
nice. So Luke, was it love at first sight? Were you captivated?
I've learned in marriage to stick to the to her story, you know. I say that's her story and I'm sticking to it, you know. No, it wasn't love at first sight. I always say the most underestimated thing in marriage is friendship. Mm. It is what it is. If you find somebody who can prove themselves in friendship, and not friendship like you follow me and you're a friend on social media. I'm talking about friendship as defined from the word, right?
Yeah.
I think I did a post. One of my first posts ever written as a blog on Facebook was on the 5 qualities of a friend. So I take that from the Bible, like what, like who God calls his friend, you know. Mm-hmm. Said, first of all, I speak face to face with this man as a man speaks to his friend. You know, when a man says he's friend of God, who will God choose for his friends? And I dug into that in the word, and friendship is, to me, that is the investigation before you invest in marriage.
Mm.
You get that. Everything you go through in marriage, friends go through those things before. So if you have enough evidence that you could, you know, you could be tested. Long distance is tough. Communicate about everything, you know. But then after, God told me, he said, what you looking for? Now, your father told me I would have married a Jamaican. You know that. He's been inviting me, and he's always trying to cook some up. So he spoke it years before. Mm-hmm. Years before. He blessed me at my marriage. You know, he's one of the ministers there. And so, you know, just friendship. And then one day God says, what are you looking for? He said, throw away your list and bring in my will. I always remember that instruction. See, we search for the list, and the list has all kinds of things. But at the end of the day, God's will is a list in itself.
Mm.
You really don't need to look for a list. You just find God's will, and in his will, there's a list that he wrote versus your list that you wrote. And I think when you go with God's will, there is a level of fulfillment and happiness you can't find outside of his will. That's just the plain truth, and I'm sticking to it.
So just for the people who might be in that position of, you know, trying to find a wife, you know, how did you find God's will?
You know, a big part of it is knowing his word. You can't know God's will if you don't know his word, because you will have to compare things to truth.
Okay.
Prove things, right? God's will is just his choice for you. So you learn the heart of God. You will, you know, when you know his word, you will know the qualities of that God, you know, describes in people. You know, there's simple instructions in Proverbs. Do not be friends to a man given to anger. That already gives me instruction on how to partner in business, who to hang with. If I read the scripture, I said, who can find a virtuous woman? Okay, let me see what is virtuous. What is she doing? And I'm looking at all the qualities. So when I start to get familiar with God's word and I meet people on the outside and I don't see those qualities, it will repel me because I'm a man that loves the word. But if I see you start to reflect these qualities in the word, I say, huh, she starts to look like who God is looking for, and who God describes in the word. He starts because Proverbs 31, even though a lot of people say that's the scripture for women, it was actually written for a man. It was a guy called Lemuel. His mother was telling him, do not give your strength to women. And she's going to now teach him what to look for, because it just first started off with alcohol. She says, not good for kings to be given to alcohol. It's going to mess with your judgment. And says, well, let me tell you about a virtuous woman so that you don't waste your strength in finding the wrong. So I studied that, studied the scripture. And then, you know, yes, you still have the attraction and chemistry. God put that in you. You can't fight that. You like what you like. But love has knowledge. Mm. So a lot of people like each other, but you can't be empty-headed in love. You have to be knowledgeable about what love is, the truth, to actually love genuinely, right? You say, love your car, love your dog, love your wife. Completely different. Mm-hmm. Completely different. So I would say, yeah, it wasn't love at first sight, but through the proof of friendship, and for somebody who's looking on and says, how do I find the will of God? Get to know what God's will looks like, feels like, smells like. And when you meet people, as you're interacting, you know, it's like a vibration that goes off. This person starts to look like the word that I study. The qualities are looking like it's aligning. And then affection and attraction and all those things. To me, that comes after.
Mm-hmm. Wow, Rachel, that's a high description of you there.
Yeah.
Oh, you, how did you know that Luke was the person you would want to marry and stay with?
Like I said, you know, the timing of it in terms of when we met was definitely not something that was orchestrated by anyone but God. And there were just so many things that, you know, lined themselves up to make it happen. And it was definitely divine. So sometimes I don't even know how to explain it. But yeah, I knew.
Okay. So you knew, pretty early.
Pretty early. Yeah.
Okay. All right. And I mean, that's so important because as you know, in a relationship, in a marriage, you know, God is speaking to each person. Or, well, before we get married, you know, God is speaking to each person individually, you know. Mm-hmm. And so if you were supposed to approach him, I don't know if you did, you know, and say, well, God said, you know, he might not have been at that place, you know.
Yeah.
And so it's so important to have our own relationship with God and to go through our own process with God so that God can bring us together at the right time.
Yeah.
I mean, so there are some cultural differences. There are some differences between you two. Can you tell me a little bit more about those differences?
Yes, I love to cook.
And I don't, because I wasn't raised cooking.
I like to be quiet by myself.
I love that look.
That's one thing I learned about him, actually, through, you know, throughout our relationship, was that he was like such an introvert, and you'd never think he's an introvert, but he is. And I remember when he used to kind of just want to crawl into his shell, and I'm like, who is this person? You know, I later learned that was one of his personality traits, and that's just
we both like to travel.
Yeah, we love to travel.
We both love food.
You know, one thing I always did say, though, and I won't say I asked God for this, because I don't think I ever verbalized it directly to God and said, you know, I'm praying for this. But I always said that I was going to marry a man from the Caribbean. I never said Jamaica, but I just knew that I wanted someone who had cultural similarities.
Okay.
You know? I saw something the other day saying, I saw a tweet, it was so funny. It was like, I would never marry a person from another culture because I don't have time to be explaining what Callaloo is. You know? And I found it so funny. But yeah, so for me, I always knew that because I kind of, as from a child, I knew kind of what I wanted my life to look like, you know? I had my, from very early on, I kind of knew my taste, kind of knew, you know, what I wanted my life to look like, kind of designed my life in a way. And I knew I wanted to raise my children in the Caribbean. That was a big thing for me as well. And yeah, so there are certain things that I knew I wanted. And then God just kind of was like,
Here. Oh, that's awesome.
So I would say that there's a lot of similarities, you know. There are definitely differences, but there were already some very similar things, you know, that I probably wouldn't have adjusted to as well, or he wouldn't have adjusted to as well if we didn't come from, you know, similar-ish
backgrounds. And I remember, yeah. Just to say, you know, something as simple as language, because I, you know, I'm a Jamaican and I also have Trinidadian roots. And I remember in Trinidad once, you know, I was telling somebody, something bad happened to them. And I was saying, hush, hush, hush. And there was somebody else there that was so traumatized because they're like, how can you be telling the person hush? I mean, something horrible.
Yeah, that exact thing happened to me, actually. Like, something, the hush, yeah. Oh, like, our nanny is Jamaican. And she was telling Judah hush. And, like, I think it was one of Luke's aunts or uncles or parents or somebody on his side was, like, traumatized by the fact that she was saying hush. So yeah, totally. Yeah, that one for sure.
So there are some real simple but big cultural differences.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But you know, for me, cultural differences, yeah, it plays a role. For me, foundation needs to be spiritual compatibility. You see, because when a man comes to Christ, he becomes a new creature. Mm. And if you have compatibility in Christ, you shouldn't let any cultural difference create division. Mm-hmm. Because if you look at the bird, look at any bird that God created, you'll see how he blends colors. Even if the bird is black, there's something in a black bird that you will see some little shade that is tied back into it. If it's a Kiskadee, you're going to see brown, yellow, and white somewhere on the head. God is a God of diversity. So anybody who cannot appreciate difference, to me, don't understand God. Mm. Plants never make anything the same. Fish, never. Birds of the air, animals. If you go to Africa on the safari and you watch, say, how did God come up with the design on this giraffe? I mean, it's perfect. Everything is in space. The colors never are off. He didn't use fluorescent green. He used dark brown. Then he used gold for this. I mean, everything. God is diverse. Everything that comes out of God is diversity, but it's beautiful. Mm. So when we see differences, you have to see differences like God as far as a philosophy. It's that her differences were meant to really to serve me rather than to create confusion. For example, my wife, because she likes design, she likes nice things. She, Rach, what do you want? Well, let me just see what that one is. And that one usually is the most expensive in the store. Not because she's trying to. Mm-hmm. That's just her taste, right? Mm-hmm. Now, that has improved my life. Because I would use something till the wheels run off. Right? You know, it's my wife that will make a journal with me and has my name. You see those little details?
Yes.
This is one of my journals here. For me, this is the journal I picked up for myself, right? You can tell the difference, right?
Yes.
The journal I picked up for myself. It's just a journal. Let me go get one in the pharmacy, you know. But my wife is going to pay attention to details. So I have learned to appreciate that because it has now improved areas of my life or the things that I would pay attention to with my wife. For example, I sit with people all day and within an hour, I could clarify purpose, potential, where you should be spending your time, if you're in the right career or not. So when she met me with all of her creativity and she loves life and all of that, I said to her, you're not maximizing and living out your full potential. Now she's doing all kinds of things I think that she may not have usually done. She stepped outside of herself. She serves a lot. She helps a lot of people. You know, her design has gone to another level. So my difference would have helped her, and her differences has helped me, and I think that's how we have used it to serve each other. And the union, the union has a destiny. Me, if I didn't marry her, I would have a destiny. But our union, how can two walk together unless they agree? So the only reason we need to agree is because we decided to walk together somewhere. Mm-hmm. And because the relationship has a destiny, it requires now covenant, unity, relationship, togetherness, oneness, difference, working together in synergy. And that's the way I see it, and it's really beautiful. I learned to cook all the Jamaican meals, everything. You know, there's not much things that my wife loves to eat because I have her living outside of Jamaica. So I had to make sure that she gets her good Jamaican food. And, I mean, ask her. I don't care if it's ackee. I don't care if it's callaloo. I don't care if it's breadfruit. I don't care if it's steamed fish, escovitch. She don't eat curry goat and all them things, but you name it. She don't miss Jamaica until she's really ready to go to hell shadow.
Rachel, is this true? Is this true?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, you know, Luke, as you spoke about diversity, you know, I mean, that's just a concept that I find it's difficult for us to grasp as humans and even as Christians. I mean, personality differences are a struggle. Cultural differences are a struggle. Preferences are, you know, oftentimes just a struggle. And you look at people and you're like, I don't get why you chose that. You know, why can't you choose something a little simpler, you know? And so there is a lot of contention because I think perhaps our perspective and our mindset needs to be shifted to this perspective that diversity is beautiful and that we can benefit from each other's diversity and differences, because that's how God has made us. He has made us to complement each other in different ways and also to challenge each other, you know. So even our differences, they don't just build up and kind of, you know, support, and it's not always a fuzzy feeling. It's also a time of refining and iron meeting iron and, you know, harsh circumstances, you know. But I want to hear, Rachel, a little bit about your transition to Trinidad. So, you know, from the dating scene or courting, however you decide to frame it, into transitioning to Trinidad, what was that like, the cultural differences? And then also you have a what is called an interracial marriage. So, you know, what was that like for you?
So we lived in Florida for 1 year exactly. A little over a year after we got married, and then we transitioned and moved to Trinidad after that year. And, you know, I was very well accepted here, and so I think that made it easier for me. The community that Luke comes from, his family, they were all very accepting of me, and so that made my transition very easy. Mm-hmm. I was also working on a project over here, interior design project over here, along with Luke's dad. And so I had formed a little team over here under one of the leaders at the church who was helping to put together the medical center. Yeah. So I was from, even though we were living in Florida, I was still connecting on the ground with some, you know, groups. And I was able to come back and forth a little bit and develop those relationships. So that helped a lot too, because I had those relationships developing before I moved. So when I got here, it was like, you know, okay, well, I'm here. And, you know, there was definitely a little bit of culture shock in terms of diversity of Trinidad, you know, in comparison to Jamaica. You know, Jamaica does not have a large percentage of Hindus and Muslims. And, you know, I remember driving on the street here from the airport to home, and I was like, why are there temples all around me? Why are there flags, like, in all of these houses, you know? So that for me was a little bit of a culture shock, you know, seeing a lot of women and men in their religious wear and all that stuff. That was definitely a little bit of a culture shock for me. But I have to say it was made easy. You know, there's obviously things I miss about home that I'll always miss about home.
Right.
But thank God it's right there. I definitely miss the beaches. Trinidad has no beach to talk about.
Not on Jamaica.
Yeah. I miss the mountains for sure. I miss the pride that our people have for our country. Mm. You know, those little things. But Trinidad has a lot of similar things to Jamaica, you know, so it did make the transition easier. And my family made the transition easier. I'm grateful to be able to raise my kids here because I think that they are getting the best in terms of a rounded perspective, you know, on diversity and their upbringing will definitely not be compromised living here. They have their grandparents, which is wonderful. I get to see them, you know, with them every day, which is a great thing. I'm grateful for that. Of course, I miss my parents, but it's a blessing to have his parents. You know, my son Judah is taking after his grandfather a lot. He is with him a lot. He is modeling him and becoming his own little person. But he has good leadership and good father figures around him. So I'm grateful for those things. Mm-hmm. But yeah, so my transition, you know, it took some time, especially moving from America to after 10 years of being over there, to, you know, transitioning back into a slower pace of life and not as much accessibility. But at least I was, you know, I grew up in the Caribbean, so I knew what I was going to,
Okay, so a strong kind of family acceptance really helped with the transition. Yeah, and then also being able to kind of stay in your comfort zone in Florida while touching base in Trinidad also helped.
Definitely that helped because as soon as I came here, it's like I went straight into, you know, working with a group that I already was familiar with and formed a relationship with. And, you know, we have, to this day, we're still very, very compatible as a group that works together with the church and with the medical center and with all projects, you know, interior and exterior design related.
Well, that's good. So, you know, so there was this acceptance, this integration into family, but then also you had some amount of purpose, you know, so that there was a deeper connection.
Exactly.
Okay. Okay. That's good. So when, a little bit before you were married, did you guys do premarital counseling?
We did. We actually did it with Luke's dad.
Okay. And were there any questions or advice regarding, you know, the, being an interracial couple or having cultural differences being Jamaican and Trinidadian?
Never.
Okay.
You know, I mean, my dad would have mentioned to me, because, you know, within Jamaica, you have subcultures, right? Rachel, I would say, comes from what I call an up-down culture. Mm-hmm. So my father did ask me, he says, look, did you pick up that, in one sense, did you pick up that you think your color, you know, your background will create any difference there of you being treated any different? And I mean, if anybody knows, you know, Rachel's family, from the time I came in, I remember her grandfather, who's now passed, he made a joke with me because they heard I was a minister. And he asked me two questions from the Bible. So I thought it was funny, you know. I don't know if it was a test. He asked me two questions from the Bible. So I'm laughing about it and answering, laughing. And then he leans over and he kisses me, you know. He kisses me. So when that happened, for everybody who's looking on, I mean, I didn't know at that time, but that was a blessing.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Rachel's father to this day said, you'd never marry my daughter unless my father, it was my father who let you in, not me. He always says that. And well, her mother's side, all the cousins, everybody from the time we were dating was very accepting. I think generationally, there's been a difference throughout the years when it has come to appreciation of diversity. Mm-hmm. The Gen Zs and the millennials have grown up in a much more diverse, appreciated culture. All their friends in school, social media has allowed us to communicate across communities that probably traditionally our parents would not have let us talk to this person or that person. We all meet on the platform. We're all together. We're all talking. So that in itself has replaced what neighborhoods were. Online has created diverse communities. So you find that younger people have a greater appreciation for, that's normal to them. Mm-hmm. They wouldn't use my black friend. You wouldn't hear somebody say, my white friend or my black friend or my Hispanic. We don't use race to identify people. Back in the day, a little bit later on, you might find that people pay attention more to that. So for me, the only thing my dad would have mentioned, do I feel comfortable? And well, for me, you know, I think if I'm genuine and I'm not accepted, I don't feel sad about that. If I'm trying to be somebody or pretend to be somebody and I don't get accepted, then that creates confusion in me. I think somebody who does not accept somebody who is genuine in their skin, it's their loss. Mm-hmm. So anybody who doesn't like me in my world is their loss. Because for me, I'm settled, of a pure heart, person of integrity. I love God, and I will always do well by somebody. That's just me. Always remember one of Rachel's grandparents says, you know, because, you know, when a girl is getting married, they want to know about her financial security. Well, I heard he's a pastor. Them pastors don't make no money. I laughed about that, you know. And that's a good concern. If your girl or your daughter, you want to know about her financial security, right? Mm-hmm. But by God's grace, you know, I think we give them the confidence that we had a game plan. We're not going to get married and sit on a couch and watch Netflix. We were going to go to work and get the thing done, right?
Yeah.
And God has blessed us to where we could bless others.
Yeah.
And we're living life by design. I think when you're in the will of God, especially for people who are outside probably of that context, it's not just your effort or your talent. When you're in God's will, you might not count favor on your game plan, but when you please God, God fights for you, and God puts things in place you can put in your, for yourself, you know?
Yeah.
And we have been witness. We have things from our wedding that we still have not used. Mm. Like flights, hotels, weeks in the UK, weeks at hotels. I mean, we have so many things that have been given to us in 6 years that we've never had chance. I think some of you maybe forgot that they gave those things to us. Just blessings upon blessings upon blessings upon blessings. And I just know it's from God's will. Yeah. So it can happen to anybody who's looking on here and is in God's will. There's a whole heap of favor that is waiting on you, right? And just walk according to his will.
So what it sounds like is what really, I mean, it didn't sound like you had much of a fight, but even in that, there is a confidence that you have about who you are, who you are called to be, so that you don't pretend to be like somebody else if you're in a different setting, and you are confident that if other persons don't like them, it's their problem. It's not yours, and you're good.
And I'll tell you this, Joe. I was very confident that my wife would have stood up against her family if that ever came up. I saw her strength to say, this is my choice. And even if y'all don't like it, I know this about her, not in a rebellious way. She would have said, we're getting married on February the 8th. If you're there, it'll be great. But if you're not there, we'll be married. You know, I felt that strength that says, this is my choice, and I want you to be happy with my choice. Confidence. That's one thing. I mean, if you observe on social media right now, I mightn't say much about it, but she's very vocal about it, because for her, she does not want, for example, I mean, if I take it down to a theological level, I don't want to do that, but I mean, we are spirits. We're just having a human experience. So whenever the skin is judged, it's somebody who doesn't understand how we're made. There's no color in the spirit. So you have to be able to judge somebody by the content of their character versus the color of their skin. That's what Martin Luther King Jr. said. And Jesus, even in his teachings, said, you know, don't be afraid of people who can destroy the flesh. You know, this is, that destruction is not what's going to cause you pain. It's the destruction of the unseen the soul, the mind, the will, the intellect, emotion. That's the real solid part of man that makes a difference, the unseen man. So for me, I always tell people, when they held books back from slaves, it was more pain caused to their future than when they whipped those slaves on their back. Mm-hmm. The pain on the skin, that healed. But the pain in the spirit, the pain to the identity, the pain to the destiny, the pain to the image, the purpose of that man, that pain could have lasted for generations because it was in the unseen world. So for me, when people don't understand and they're limited to external, I have the grace to understand them. I don't necessarily need to explain myself. But if I get the opportunity to, my first message is by our lifestyle. And then our second message is the one that comes out of our mouth, mm-hmm. to show people that we want you to come up to the understanding rather than us stepping down to your argument. You understand what I mean?
Okay.
So that we build our relationship by let our actions do all the explaining, mm-hmm. you know, mm-hmm. to show people that in Christ, listen, this thing about in Christ is an amazing thing. When a man becomes in Christ, you forget his past. He becomes a new creature. All things are passed away. And behold, what? All things become new. So Rach was raised one way. All right. We thank God for how she was raised. Luke was raised one way. We thank God for how he's raised. But when they both come in Christ, they now have unlimited the potential to become all that they can become, not limited. Could include some of the nice diversity, but not limited to where they came from, because in the spirit realm, they have full potential. Mm. It's not limited that Luke grew up in Trinidad. He is now saved, you know, and God will design whatever he has to design for us to experience all that we can experience. So only because of my faith, I come from there. If somebody doesn't have faith, it's going, you know, those things come up. You know, those things come up, and when it's time to deal with it, it can split families, split marriages, because, you know, I've seen it. I've seen it in the church where, you know, a lot of people, mother and son, mother can't let go of son when he got married, you know, differences. Well, we don't do things like that, and we wouldn't let our children do that. We let our children go to the carnival. Well, we won't let our children go to the carnival. Well, we don't want our children to go to that church, and a lot of that creates a lot of division, mm-hmm. when it is not understood. And so I think the couple has to make a strong stand on the values that they want to live by. And that makes a difference in how people interpret, how to interact with them, you know?
Mm-hmm. So how have you both decided on these values? I mean, as you speak, there is a solid rock type of confidence, you know, from that you speak from. And you're not just, you don't just speak about your own confidence, but the confidence of your wife, and mm-hmm. then the confidence that you have together in Christ, you know. Mm-hmm. But if you are supposed to almost teach somebody else how to come to this kind of oneness, what would you say?
So I think if your belief system comes from the same place,
yeah.
If your values come from the same place, and for us that would be from the Word, then it's a lot easier to agree on certain things because you always have that to go back to, you know? So to me, I think that's really the secret. I mean, you know, that's where all values in how we're going to raise our children or how we're going to conduct our lives really comes from. Luke was raised in that. I was not, you know, and I don't condemn anyone for not doing things that way or not living that way, but definitely I can say through the way that we live our lives, we have seen the benefits and the favor that's upon our lives because of how we live. And so that's, for us, that's where it's at.
Okay.
Yeah, and I would say if you're already married, you're looking on at this, I think the man has to take the lead.
Yes, that too.
Right?
Yeah.
You can't sit back and think that it's going to happen. The man has to take the lead. And if he's the head of the home and Christ is his head, he has to decide, straight from the scripture again, what are the values that we see? God is the one who designed family. He starts with the male, the man, and the female man. And he puts both of them together and he says reproduce. But God starts the family out. What did God lay down in the word for how family should operate? When we go by that, if we agree with that, then we get the blessings that are tied to the obedience of that truth. If we go outside of that, then we are also tying ourselves to the consequences of not obeying that truth. Mm-hmm. And so we decided to take everything from the scripture, not from the opinions of men, not even just from the parents. Even though the parents have done well, we have to have our own conviction. Because if you don't have your own conviction, when you run into difficult, my father don't pay my electricity bill. So if he don't pay my electricity bill, then I need to know how I'm going to pay it. So I need to make sure we have our own income to do that. Same way, we need to have a wisdom that we have gained from the scripture, confidently studying. And I started this when Rach started to come to Trinidad. That was intentional. I didn't let her randomly just come to Trinidad. I had already looked into the future and say, she needs to feel comfortable if I ever have to go to Trinidad and live. So I looked for an opportunity lined up with her giftings to say, let me see if I can get her to be able to be a part. Prophetically looking forward in the future and saying she would have good foundation relationships. That was not by guess. And that again comes from studying the scripture. Right? And so I go by God's will, nobody's ideas, just, you know, man-made fictions or things that might be inspirational. I go by the scripture. The scripture doesn't lie. So that's what I would say that's how we came to those values. Now the whole gang is here.
The whole gang is here. This is what it's like. This is what it's about. I mean, that's important because what you're saying is that there is a mindset that we need to have regarding the diversity.
Yes.
And that mindset comes from the word, but also despite our diversity and the differences that we have in culture, in preferences, in personality, the word is the common ground. And so if we both have the same value system, submitting ourselves to the word, then we are able to come to an agreement through that, you know, through that one avenue of submitting to the word. Is that correct?
Yes, yes. That's the place we meet at.
Okay. You
know? That's the place we meet at the word.
Okay. And I mean, that's very important because that really goes right across the border to, as we were talking about, to all types of diversity. We think about, you know, interracial relationships. We think about coming from different countries. You know, we think about all of these things and we're looking for strategies and ways in which to operate, you know, but essentially what you're saying is, hey, all of it is in the word. If you want to know how to raise a family, look in the word. If you want to know how to deal with your cultural differences, look in the word. If you want to find a wife and know what a good thing looks like, you know,
look in the word.
You know, and that's
look, there's an example in Numbers chapter 12 when Moses married the Cushite wife. Mm-hmm. She was very dark in color. Right? The reason they had a problem with her was she was very dark in color. Do the research, you'll see it in the scripture. And Miriam says, why did he marry her? The diversity bothered her. And God literally called out a meeting and says, I need to talk to you leaders in the camp before we go forward. Because difference is creating division. And difference is not supposed to create division. You have to have the right way. He says, first of all, when I speak to this man, I speak to him face to face like I speak to a friend. And so he's trying to say this man's choice is by my will. But you are looking at his choice through your limited perspective. So you are looking at his choice through your limited perspective of seeing that he's marrying somebody who is different from what you thought he should marry. This is not how we make choices here in the Word. We make choices by the will of God. If it comes with diversity, it comes with diversity. If it looks like you, it looks like you. But your priority has not been limited by your personal choices. You have surrendered. You've called him Lord. That means he sits on the throne of your life. That means whatever he serves, I eat. Whatever he lines up in the channels of his will, I do. There are men of God who God told him, marry a harlot. I wouldn't choose that for myself. I wouldn't say, well, God, this is what is on my list. No, but his will included that. And even when Samson went down to Delilah, we teach that and we say, hey, be very careful. But there is a verse in said that says that his parents did not know that it was the will of God for Samson to line up with Delilah. Why? God was looking for a reason for Samson to fulfill his call, which was to begin the deliverance of the children of Israel from under the hand of the Philistines. How else would he do that? He needed an insight into the camp of the Philistines to get a man in there who they would dig his eyes out, put him in prison, and line him up by the pillars where all the leaders and the heads of the Philistines were there feasting. So God used what seemed to be, to me, a mistake of choice through diversity, choosing somebody not of his people, to let Samson lay with Delilah, which was a sin. He gave up the presence of God. He sacrificed, you know, in one sense, what we would say is being in the will of God. Samson, you should have married your own. But now, where does God find him? And that speaks to God's grace and God's will. Sometimes it can't be understood. It said his ways are so high above our ways that who knows it? Who really can understand it? So when it comes to God's will, if diversity isn't there, I do not dig into it to find out how to make it work. If it's in his will is perfect. So that means he wants me to grow into the place where I make this thing work for me, because he would not put it in his will if it would work against me. God's will is perfect. So that is how I have seen it. You know, I have white grandparents. My mother was adopted. I have East Indian grandparents. That's who my mom's real parents are. And I have Afro-Trinidadian grandparents. Well, one grandfather who's alive, because my father is Afro-Trinidad. When you say diversity to me, you're calling out my family. So my perspective, even without being in the spirit realm, has always been, I've been taught to love all. And based on what we know, psychologists have said, the only two natural fears that people have is fear of loud sounds, and probably, I think, fear of falling. You can look at a pup. The first time it gets to the step, it's scared, because I've never gone from one level down to the next. But once it learns it, it knows that, okay, I don't have to be afraid of this anymore. So with a child, a fear of loving somebody different has been taught. That's not natural. It's been taught. And so even when we get to relationships, it's a lot of residue of things that you did not question all your life that has been taught to you. Like I said to Rachel, I said, do you not realize we don't have to teach our children about racism because all of our friends are so diverse? They would not think, well, mommy and they don't see these type of people. That person is different. No, all their parents' friends is a good representation of the world. My son had 22 flights before he was
one.
Two. Right?
He was one.
Before he was 1 year old. He talks to every single person. When he's in the supermarket, we teach him to say good morning and thank you. I don't care if the person looks poor, broke, and torn up. Good morning. Thank you. Although now,
you know, that he's growing up and he's at that stage where he will recognize differences in certain things, you know, and he'll call them out. And I think that's where parents have to you know how to handle those kind of situations, you know? Something like as simple as I am today, we had someone come today to clean up a house and she had a birthmark on her hand. And he's at that stage now where he's like, what's that on your hand? You know, because he doesn't see it on his hand or he doesn't see it on our hand. And so I think also as a parent, you have to know how to treat with and answer your kids when they are in, when they're that type of child. You have to know your children, you know? Mm-hmm. And Judah is like 10 steps ahead. You know, he's always challenging me, I think, as a parent. Because I almost feel like I'm not ready for the stage yet.
I understand.
These questions, like, you know, you're 3. So, yeah, so I think those things are so important in terms of helping kids to understand, you know, diversity in the world.
Okay, so, I mean, as you spoke again, Luke, you know, what I heard a lot was that there is a purpose bigger than us. We are fitting into a purpose that God has already established. And he has given us, as you said earlier, individual things to do. And then he has brought, because at the very basic level, you're different because you're male and female. You know, right. So God is about, you know, bringing people who have differences together. And I really like that example that you gave in Samson, because Samson just seems like a whole mistake. I mean, his life just seems like a series of horrible choices. And then, you know, at the end, you're like, okay, yes, God got his glory, but wow, what a life. You know, but God still used it for his larger purpose and used all the differences for that. And I really think that, you know, a lot of what you both have said are very important. And, you know, they're really standing out to me, you know, kind of knowing who God has made you to be. So that confidence of who I am as a man, who I am as a woman, and then coming together and having that joint confidence and support, mutually supporting each other. Luke, you went ahead and you sought to ensure that the way was prepared for your wife. And you knew also that Rachel, if it came to that place, that Rachel would stand with you, you know, that you had you had your own virtuous woman behind you being able to back you. But then you also spoke about the mindset, the diversity mindset, having a mindset that recognizes that God doesn't see the differences as bad and the differences can work for you to accomplish his purposes. You know, and to be able to meet a larger population, because perhaps also because you have these differences, you know, cultural, interracial differences, then the platform that you have is bigger. You know, and so God uses these differences. So as we close today, you know, I'm just going to ask you to share one thing, both of you. As you speak to couples who are in, you know, who have marriages that are, you know, have cultural differences as well as racial differences, what's the one thing you think would be important for them to know to make their marriage work?
You know, let me go with 2 instructions. I believe success in anything relationally subtends on 2 truths. Jesus taught this. He says, do not be hearers only, right? It didn't mean don't listen, but don't be a hearer only. So that means I must hear. I think when we don't have success in something, period in life, but especially relationally, a lot of marriages lack knowledge. You can't behave in the right way or subtending on ignorance. That means I don't know. There are actually books that teach you about relationships. Mm-hmm. Marriage. Get knowledge, and with all of your getting, get what? Understanding. So a big part of my premarital with Rach was the books we studied. Long before I had to sit down talk. I'm not waiting for no premarital counseling to sit down. I'm a minister. So we made our devotion things that prepared us. I'm sure she could remember, I still have all the workbooks going through that. So the first thing is don't be hearers only. So hear, but don't be a hearer only. Do I have the knowledge that I need to be successful in a relationship? The second thing is, says, you have to hear, but you have to do. Do I have the practices? And when I say a practice, it is not a one-time event.
Yeah.
If your husband, you say, you took out the garbage last week, Wednesday, she's not going to be happy. You understand what I mean? You're looking for that one time you did the thing. She's not going to be impressed that you did it last week, Wednesday. She wants it habitually. She wants it as a ritual. But a lot of times, we can't have right practice off of wrong knowledge. So that's why you have to hear first. And then when you hear, you now want to do or practice. If you focus on those two things, I don't care if you're interracial or both of you are yellow or fluorescent green, or you come from Kenya and New Zealand, you meet at the right knowledge and the right practices based on truth, because truth can't fail.
Yeah.
I don't care. Truth cannot fail. Right knowledge. Do we know what we're supposed to do? Do we understand needs? Do we understand how a man is supposed to treat? Do we understand what is the head of a home? How should he provide? Yeah. Do I understand a woman's need? Do I understand? Do I have the knowledge? Because otherwise, I'm just going by effort.
I think also what just came to me as well is, so I won't even make a point because you, I think you did a good job with it. But my thing is, that, you know, a lot of who we are, we learn from our past experiences, or we learn from our upbringing. And I think we have to be intentional as, you know, designing our own lives. Like what I said, you know, regardless of how my parents raised me, there was something in me that wanted to design the way that I wanted my life to look. You know, my parents have a failed marriage, but they raised us tremendously, I think, you know, but I was able to sift through the good and the bad things, the things that, well, you know, good and bad is relative, but the things that I didn't, that I don't want my children to be raised with, you know, and sometimes I snap back into those old ways and then I have to kind of think, oh my gosh, you know, this is how I was raised and this is why I'm doing this. So I think always having that, I think the word of God is what has to be the foundation, because there's so many, you know, you have to decide on one way and through, I think that's definitely the way for us, because there's so much information coming at us so rapidly from so many different sources all the time, especially in this world that we live in now. Society's trying to shape who we are and shape our children, and we have to have a solid foundation on some truth, and I think the word is that for us.
Yeah,
and I think what you said, Rachel, about intentionality, you know, it's almost like that's your life, you know, you design, you know, your hair, yeah, from what you've said from growing up. But the intentionality is so important. And as you spoke, it's like what I saw was almost, some of us can be carried by the water, carried by the wind. You know, we're just being carried by all of the things people are saying, and we change based on the new fad, you know. But what you both are talking about is being able to stand in a solid way despite what is happening around you. And that's being able to stand in that way is based on the word. So thank you so much. I'm going to ask you both to pray. Luke, I'll ask you to pray for the men. And Rachel, I'll ask you to pray for the women. And then we'll close.
Okay. Father, for those of the men that are looking on, I pray that you bless their hearts. As simple as it is to just surrender to your truth and to just come to you with a pure and honest heart and say, God, make us into the best that we can be. I pray that you'll hear that simple prayer of faith. I pray that you'll open the doors, lead them to your truth, allow them to be your God, Father, man of God, representing who you are. I pray a special blessing upon them that their heads will look up, even after hearing this, to be encouraged to fall in love with your word, to the way where the word is their way of doing anything is your word. I speak this blessing over their life and over their marriage in Jesus' name. Amen.
Heavenly Father, thank you today for all of the women who are looking on, and all of the women out there in the world, Heavenly Father. To be a woman in today's world is not the easiest thing, and I just pray for your continued guidance. I pray that you would, you know, put people in our lives as women that would, you know, act as a village around us to help to, you know, support us as we find our way through you. And I just pray for your blessings upon our lives. I pray for your strength and ultimately your guidance. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. There is just one other question that I think I just want to ask before. Do you believe that being a Caribbean couple has, in a sense, buffered you from being affected by some of the challenges with diversity that may have occurred in places like the U.S.?
Yeah, I think so.
Absolutely.
To a good extent.
100%. And I said it today to one of my friends, you know, looking at some of the facts with this whole racial injustice thing that's going on right now in America and around the world, but let's just say in America right now is where, you know, things are really heated up. I'm grateful that I don't have my children to raise over there right now, you know, because I was saying to Luke the other day, you know, my parents never sat me down and said, this is how you become an anti-racist human being, you know. It was through exposure and example and being raised around people from all different walks of life, you know, from, you know, diversity on all levels. So, you know, and that's how I was raised. And I was saying to my dad, you know, last week, I'm grateful for that exposure, that I never had to be sat down and taught, you know, this is how you need to behave, or this is how we, you know, do things or whatever. And so, yeah, I think that being raised in the Caribbean has helped us a lot, and it's created a really good foundation in terms of appreciating diversity and being raised with some kind of culture and substance as people, you know?
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah, fully agree.
Okay, well, thank you so much, Luke and Rachel. I really, really appreciated this, and appreciated what you have shared. And I know it's a sacrifice because you guys are busy, and so I'm just so happy that I could have you on the show. God bless you both.
Thank you.
And the listeners, thank you so much for tuning in to Life and Godliness with Joe. As usual, I love to have you here with me. And if you want to know more, please go on Instagram and follow me at Journeying with Joe. That's JourneyingWithJo. And on Facebook, it's Journeying with Joe 1. I love to have you there. See you. Bye. Holy, there is no one like you. There is none beside you.